So we can start our puja now. Yeah? Compose your mind, develop your faith, then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Yeah? We pay our respect first before we start the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Just relax yourself, make yourself comfortable. Relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start. Okay. Today also, I think it coincides with the reminder, the KK, Aloka Stupa. I think they are doing the consecration today, if I'm not wrong. Or was it the opening ceremony? I also not very sure. So some of our Dharma friend has gone there, KK, Kunda-san. So it's an occasion for rejoice, because that place is quite nicely built up. I think Sister Padmasuri and the husband, Brother Teo, they are there. I don't know about the rest. Okay, like just now I mentioned, this book, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, will be the next book we are using after the Satipatthana class. So you look at the whiteboard, today will be our last class for the Satipatthana Sutta, because we have covered almost all of the four foundation. We have reached halfway through the fourth foundation. So a little bit more to go. The other thing that I need you all to understand is the condition behind all this. Our Tuesday class, we are going to start our Diamond Sutta. They wanted it as soon as possible. I don't know what was the reason, but now I think I know. They wanted it this Tuesday. So this Diamond Sutta actually is a very, very unique and very powerful Mahayana Sutta. It's actually meant for all the great cultivators of the way. And the merits of understanding and cultivating this sutta is limitless and beyond the comprehension of normal mind of living things. There were many examples given in the sutta that the Buddha mentioned. Even if you were to offer the seven thresholds to all the great Buddhas and big great beings of all the 3,000 universe, 3,000 universe, not one universe. Even if you have done it for many, many lives, that merits, you cannot compare to somebody who actually study, cultivate the Diamond Sutta, then able to understand even four lines, four stanzas, and able to teach any living being. He said that merits far exceed all those merits. Because it's about doing wholesomeness, merits, and cultivation without mark, without the mark of a self, without the mark of any concept, idea, or dhamma. And it's very, very profound. So it's indeed a very rare teaching. And very few people can teach such a sutta. And it was even mentioned in one of the chapters. There are 32 chapters in the Diamond Sutta. They are all very profound and very beautiful. But there is no real teaching inside there. There is no real dhamma inside there. It only tells you how to cultivate. The way you cultivate is very important. And Diamond Sutta is very unique. It's like the teaching for great beings, for those who walk the path of Bodhisattva shape to become Sammasambuddha. If you want to become Sammasambuddha, you must understand this Diamond Sutta. So earlier on, actually, Sister Lee also wanted me to teach this Diamond Sutta after the Satipatthana Sutta. But I told her, cannot, because I cannot be teaching the two sutta at two different places at the same time. That's something that I never do, my nature never do. So I told her, definitely not Diamond Sutta. Then I think condition just fall into place. He suddenly got this book. This is a very important book. The Mahayana book, they call it Liu Chu Tanjing, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. And this book also has a lot of great teaching of Hui Ning, the Six Patriarch. So this is so far one of the equivalent very great Mahayana Sutta that we can actually develop the understanding. And this one got more Dhamma. Yeah. But the Dhamma are very penetrative. They are all beyond mind. Yeah. So, looks like the Dhamma is going to take off again to another level after we start on these two. So today, like I said, we will finish off the Satipatthana Sutta. Okay, we were at which page? Was it 48 or what? Page what? Was it at page 48? Yeah, page 48. Yeah, number 4. So there are 5 category of practices under Dhammanupassana. Dhammanupassana is the 4th foundation of the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Just to recap, the first foundation is Kayanupassana. Kaya is physical body. So mindfulness on our physical form, our kaya. You can develop mindfulness or attention on your physical body, entire body, your posture. When the body is in the sitting posture, you maintain awareness or attention on that posture. When it's standing away, walking aware, body and mind as one. Sitting aware, lying down aware. Then we develop the connecting movement between the 4 postures. That is the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all activity within the present moment. Then within the form of meditation, we can also be mindful of our breathing in and out breath. The breath is also part of kaya. Then we can also be mindful of our rising and falling of the abdomen. Then your heartbeat, your vibration. Then whatever dynamic movement that you develop. Then you can also develop all the other connecting mindfulness related to kaya. The 4 elements, the 32 parts, the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. That is the first foundation. Then we move on to the second foundation, which is Vedana Nupassana. Vedana is feeling. Feeling that arises within the form and mind. Whenever there is contact, feeling will arise. Feeling is one of the 7 universals. So the purpose of this mindfulness of feeling is to understand how your mind stir, how your mind develop craving. Upon contact, feeling arise. Initially, feeling is just pure feeling. But because of your wrong view, your conditioning, your habitual tendency, you react and you stir. That's why triggering of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, they are the hindrance of mind. They are also the first 2 evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why the Buddha said, when feeling has become unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. And when feeling has become pleasant feeling, you must be aware. The reason being, these are hindrance of mind. They have a reason. Means you have to silence your mind to trace the origination factor. How the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then when you continue to silence and relax, how the arisen hindrance is to be. And that is part of Dhammanupassana, the first category of cultivation, which is mindfulness of the mind hindrance. So they are related. then even if it's neutral feeling, neutral feeling born of delusion, because it's not related to you, so you got no urgency or no reaction to it, because you have delusion. You think the self, your loved one, these are people who are important to you. People whom you don't know, or you don't have any relationship, you have indifference towards them. So indifference is not equanimity of mind. Indifference is nothing to do with you, that's why you are not interested. So it doesn't affect you. That's why you have this neutral feeling. You don't feel anything. It has nothing to do with you. Your mind are like very neutral. This is also delusion. That's why when delusion arises, you must understand. Because you have preference. Not related to you. Not for you. No advantage to you. You don't want to do. That even nothing to do with you and your loved one or your company, you also don't want to have anything to do with them. So this type of neutral feeling is called indifference. Indifference is a delusion. Because you got these views and opinion of who is your loved one, who are your loved one, who are the people whom you actually care for. Then after that, we move on to the third foundation. The third foundation is about citta nupassana. We have to develop mindfulness on the consciousness itself and its content. So the content of consciousness is very important. Upon contact, feeling arises. But at the same time, consciousness also arises. Like what we understood from the physics experiment. The seven universal. So upon contact, feeling is one of the seven universal. Perception is another one. Then the reaction, the stirring of the mind is the other few. So when you start to understand, then you will come to know upon contact, not only feeling, perception, but consciousness and other things also arise. So when you think, your mind is also an organ. So upon contact, mental consciousness arises. That's why the dependent origination is not that avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance. Activity of mind arises, wanting to know, wanting to experience. The mind start to think. Then when it start to think, it make contact with mind. When it make contact with mind, what happen? Not only feeling arise, consciousness also arise. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. Then you input the content of consciousness through your views, opinion and conditioning. That's how the five aggregate of form and mind, namarupang, come about. Otherwise it's just pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just seeing consciousness, no one to see. Hearing, hearing consciousness, no one to hear. As you meditate, as you develop the mindfulness through your silent mind, you will understand all this. Then the content of consciousness, when it enters, you have to be very mindful. It's just like Vedana Nupassana. When feeling has already stirred and become pleasant or unpleasant or neutral feeling, you have to be aware. So under citta nupassana, the Buddha said, if your citta has this content of consciousness which is greed, you must be aware the evil roots are there. When there is emotion, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, you need to be aware. Then when there is fear, worry, anxiety, which is part and parcel of delusion, you need to be aware. Even sorrow and lamentation. And when you meditate until your mind very peaceful, your consciousness very quiet, very tranquil, very spacious, you need to be aware the content of consciousness. Then when your mind is restless with the hindrance, you need to be aware. That's why Citta Nupassana can make you understand a lot of things. How you function as a human being, how the mind manifests and condition you into what you are. You can see the dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma, they are all within your own form and mind. Then after you have gone through these three foundations, which is Kaya, Vedana and Citta, you come to Dhamma. And Dhamma is the ultimate foundation where you awaken, you liberate. The first essential Dhamma are the hindrance of mind. The Buddha said they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you need to be aware when they are still there. Then you need to be aware of how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then later on, when you just silent and mindful, how it ceases to be. If you know how it arises and how it ceases, then you know how to deal with it. Retrospectively, you will know how to investigate. That's why the first category is the five hindrances of essential Dhamma. You develop mindfulness. Then the five aggregate of form and mind, you develop mindfulness. Then you start to see your namarupam, the content of consciousness and consciousness itself, which is the five aggregate. Then when you understand that, you will know how they arise through the sense basis. That's why the third category of cultivation is mindfulness of the six internal sense basis and the six external sense basis. These are very, very important cultivation. Then when you develop that cultivation, you come to know how the unarisen consciousness come to be. Then you can trace from there the origination factor of the defilement, the hindrance, the evil roots, how the mind that has delusion or wrong view or habitual tendency and conditioning react and stir. So you will trace through the mindfulness of your sense bases, where they come in through one of your senses. Either when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think. But the most powerful of these six doors are the first three. Hearing, seeing and thinking. And you have to focus on that. Because these are very powerful sense door activity. So when you can trace the origination factor, especially in the midst of life, daily life. That's why daily mindfulness is the real meditation. How you get angry, how you become fearful, how you develop emotional negativity, selfishness and all those things, deceitfulness. It comes through one of your sense door activity. Most of the time it's where either you see something you don't like, or you see something that tempts you to have craving, desire and greed or lustfulness. Or you hear something that people say that make you unhappy and miserable or fearful. So it's either through hearing, seeing, or your thought recall through memory, your scars of whatever, your phobia, your scars of memory when you are young, how you get yourself into situation that develop a lot of fear, a lot of phobia, or certain thing happen that make you unhappy, miserable. So when you recall through thought that negative experience will come and haunt you, create fear in you, worry in you, anxiety in you, then make you unhappy, miserable. Sometimes you recall the sorrow and the lamentation, like the death of a loved one or the loss of a breadwinner within your family. So all this is how your mind actually has power over you. So if you cannot understand all this, then you cannot develop wisdom. So that's why when you trace the origination factor of how this defilement arise, how this evil roots arise, how this hindrance arise, then you will know how to reverse it, retrospectively reverse it. Means you have to reflect, contemplate, and develop right view, straighten your view. You have to learn to see things as they are, accept them for what they are. Do not go against nature. Do not react to anything in life. Things are just the way they are. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. It is you within that must have the wisdom to accept them for what they are. Their life, their conditioning, their karma, they are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Selfish people do selfish things. It's not for you to say they are right or wrong, but they are just the way they are. So if you have that understanding, you are at peace. When you are at peace, the mind does not stir. When the mind does not stir, there is equanimity, there is clarity, there is understanding, and then we know how to act. We act to resolve things amicably through what? Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is incapable of negativity. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness will lead you to this understanding. Then after you have traced the origination factor and retrospectively you know how to reverse it, then we go to what we are. To continue today, page 48. The next category of cultivation within Dhammanupassana is the seven factors of enlightenment. When you have straightened your views, when you understand the meditation, the cultivation, these seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising and you will be able to be mindful of them. Can follow or not so far? You cannot follow, I will write it down. Because this will summarize to you the whole of Satipatthana that you need to understand. So that you cultivate with understanding. Otherwise, I tell you, even this Satipatthana Sutta, very few people in this world understand what the teaching is, not to say cultivate. If you cannot understand, how can you put it into practice? If you yourself have not cultivated, how can you share and teach people? It's impossible. That's why this teaching is very, very unique, very, very valuable. And it's very rare that you can find such a teaching. So we now will turn to page 48, item 4. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, or in Pali they call Satta Bhujanga. Satta is seven. Bhujangas are the enlightenment factors. The Buddha said, and further, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu lives contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the seven factors of enlightenment. The book used the word mental object, forget about it. It's Dhamma. Nothing to do with mental object, it's Dhamma. How, O bhikkhu, does a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the seven factors of enlightenment? Now you have to pay attention. Here, O bhikkhu, when the enlightenment factor of sati or mindfulness is present, a bhikkhu understand, I have the enlightenment factors of sati or mindfulness. Or when the enlightenment factors of mindfulness is absent, he understands. So this is very important. When you are no longer mindful, no longer heedful, you must be aware, understand not? Means what? You already heedless, lost in thought. Preoccupied with your anger, your emotion, your fear, your heedlessness, your conditioning. And you are with the mundane mind, hitting out at people, arguing with people, quarreling with people. And that is real heedlessness. You can't even be aware of that. How are you going to cultivate? The first factor of enlightenment is sati. You come to meditation to train your mind to have sati and to stabilize it. And now in your daily life, you can't even be mindful. Means you are not serious about meditation. You are being heedless. You never really resolve to be mindful. If you can't be mindful in the midst of life, you are heedless. And the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. You heard the bird chirping, huh? The bird also understand it's very dangerous not to be heedful. See? So loud. I don't know whether the recording can record or not. Cannot. But it's very sharp, the voice. Bird also understand. Living being don't understand. That is the problem. So these seven factors of enlightenment, you have to be ever mindful, especially you have cultivated to a certain extent. And you will have a lot of joy because you will know whether you have progressed or not. If the factors of enlightenment are totally not there, I ask you one very simple question. Have you progressed? Huh? Have you progressed? Huh? Why all quiet? Huh? If you don't even have any factor of enlightenment, how you expect to be enlightened? Understand? Even if you have the first one, at least it's the beginning. Sati also don't have. Then how to stabilize it? Then how to move on to the second one? Second factor of enlightenment is what? Investigation of Dhamma, very good. That's why she's saying we know. Investigation of Dhamma. Without sati, how to investigate Dhamma? How to put to test all the Dhammapada verses, all the teaching, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach? It's impossible. So the cultivation is very simple when you understand sati, you must develop. It's one of the spiritual faculty most important. To be heedful, you must have sati. To be mindful, you must have sati. To cultivate four foundation, you must have sati. Without sati, you are heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. With all these things pointing towards sati, everything you need sati, and yet you didn't see the clear message of the Buddha. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. This is Dhammapada verse 21. It also confirms the danger of heedlessness. That's why if you don't train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate noble evil path to be heedful, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you got no chance. You don't stand a chance. You can go retreat for umpteen years. I tell you, no use. In the midst of daily life, you are not heedful, you are not mindful, you can never penetrate the real Dhamma. The teaching is so simple, yet so difficult. Because if you don't understand, you can be wasting your time cultivating knowledge and Dhamma. So this first part, understand, can follow, So, actually, for so many years already, you still don't understand the importance of sati, to be heedful. Too bad. Your life, you decide how you want to live. Okay, we go on. How old we go when the enlightenment of mindfulness is present? The bhikkhu understand, I have the enlightenment factors of mindfulness or sati. Or when the enlightenment factor of mindfulness is absent, he understands that he has no enlightenment factors of mindfulness or sati. Yes, the monk understands he is heedless, no longer mindful, no longer heedful. And he understands how the arising of the non-arisen enlightenment factor of sati comes to be. and how the completion by culture of the arisen enlightenment factors of mindfulness come to be. See? If you can't even understand how sati come, the unarisen sati come to be, how are you going to develop it? Understand now? That's why I say, like swimming, don't try to know, bow. Just do daily mindfulness, attentiveness. You do until you know how to swim, you will understand what swimming is. Sati is the same. You do until it become a part of you, then you will understand how sati come to be. It is training your mind to be with the moment. Anchor it to kaya. That's why kaya nupassana is very important. Your kaya is always within the moment. If you are mindful of it without thought, you have sati. Then you use it to anchor that mind which is not heedlessly wandering off, thinking and lost in thought, doing all the funny thing. That's why the untrained mind is heedless. And the Buddha did mention the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. You know what is a devil, huh? Very evil being. The evil being is inside your mind, and your mind is like a workshop for the evil being to do all the funny thing. Whereas the trained mind is different. It is so peaceful, so beautiful, so still, so silent. It listens to you. It has got no idea, no thought, no view, no opinion. It's just silent and peaceful, fully aware of the reality, the inner nature. All these sankhara creation, they are from the thought. Your views, your opinion of what things should be or should not be, they are all sankhara. And sankhara being anicchang, impermanent, they come and they go. Then why you grasp, why you cling, why you give meaning? Why every moment of perception, the phenomenal world is like so real to you, and you can get yourself entangled and so engrossed in all this thing that you come to perceive? Why do you hold on so tenaciously to your views and opinion until you become so rigid, so incapable of understanding? This is what the mind is all about. If you train, it becomes beautiful. If you don't train, it becomes heedless. So this is what cultivation is about, all about. Without mindfulness, you cannot move. Because this is the first enlightenment of factor that I already went through. Without mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. And the heedless are as if dead. Without mindfulness, no investigation of Dhamma, second factor enlightenment cannot arise. Without mindfulness, you cannot cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot be aware of your mental intention, your defilements, your evil roots. And you cannot understand who you are, what you are. That's why mindfulness is the most important. And my teacher, the Thai monk Achayantra, used to tell me, without mindfulness, you are very poor. You can be very wealthy, but without mindfulness, you are very poor spiritually. All your wealth, your reputation, your status can never buy you wisdom, can never help you when you confront the reality of life and existence. So all these are very powerful dhammas. When you understand, it becomes so beautiful. When you don't understand, you become so heedless. Now I will read on. And he understands how the arising of the non-arisen enlightenment factor of mindfulness come to be, and how the completion by culture of the arisen enlightenment factor of mindfulness come to be. When the enlightenment factor of the investigation of Dhamma is present, means Dhamma Vichaya, Dhamma investigation is present, he understands. Of course, the tag they use, the word he knows with understanding, there is nothing to know. He just understands, that's it. That he has the enlightenment factors of Dhamma investigation. This Dhamma investigation is mainly the second turning wisdom, contemplative wisdom. when you have the creative nature, when you contemplate deep into the Dhamma, then you know you are investigating the Dhamma. Inquiry comes from what? Like I used to share with you all the Ponderable Truth. Why did the Buddha say that? Birth is suffering, old age sickness and death is suffering. Then after that you inquire deeper. How can I understand that? Then the final summary. Why did the Buddha say, in short, it is due to living beings ignorant that condition them to grasp and cling at the five aggregates of form and mind, giving rise to the five grasping aggregate, which is the cause of suffering. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand that? So to understand that, you have to reflect, contemplate into what are the five aggregates of form and mind. You don't even know what are they. That's why you have to be mindful of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then after that only you can investigate using Dhamma investigation to investigate whether the Buddha's final summary of the First Noble Truth is true or not. When I grasp and cling to the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, the suffering arises. This is what Satipatthana is all about. Inquiry, contemplation, reflection, cultivation. Throughout the day, the factors of enlightenment must be there. That's why ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And part of the Noble Eightfold Path is the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why this aspect of Dhamma is very important, the seven factors of enlightenment. Then after that, the Buddha continued. He understands the factors of enlightenment of investigation of Dhamma is still not there. Then later, he understands how the arising of the non-arisen factors of enlightenment of investigation of Dhamma or Dhamma Vichaya comes to be, and how by completion, by culture, the arisen enlightenment factors of Dhamma Vichaya comes to be. Then when the enlightenment factor of virya or spiritual zeal is present, he knows or he understands that he has this enlightenment factor of virya. And when the enlightenment factor of virya is absent, he understands it is absent. And he understands how the unarisen enlightenment factor of virya comes to be. And how by completion, by culture, how the completion by culture of the arisen enlightenment factor of virya comes to be. Virya is spiritual zeal. The spiritual tenacity to cultivate, to develop the understanding. It can only be strengthened when you can investigate into Dhamma and come to realize that the Buddha Dharma, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, has stood up to investigation. That's why under the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? The Buddha said, the Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehi pasiko. It stands up to investigation. It can invite you to come and investigate, and it will stand up to investigation. And when it stands up to investigation, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become very strong, unshakable. That's how it become bala. Then it will drive you to cultivate even more tenaciously. That's how this virya come to be, where you know this is the way. I have investigated into it. What the Buddha said is very true. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 21, 22, 23. Dhammapada verse 183. They are also beautiful. And the whole teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Evil Roots, they are also beautiful. They stand up to investigation. That's why it will spur you on. It will bring forth the very strong spiritual zeal to cultivate. Then when your spiritual zeal is there, it will drive you to be mindful, to stabilize that mindfulness. That's why your mind develops the next factor of enlightenment, after we realize what? You will experience pity. Pity is a spiritual rapture, spiritual joy, spiritual calmness born of mindfulness without thought. A very different type of mind with no hindrance. That's why the Buddha continued. He said, when the enlightenment factor of pity is present, he understands, I have the enlightenment factor of pity. Then when the enlightenment factor of pity is absent, he understands. You remember I used to advise you a very important advice. Whenever you are unhappy and miserable, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. Remember? That's why this is the opposite. Whenever the enlightenment factor of sati, dhamma vichaya, virya, and pity is there, that's why the mind is full of joy, pity. Understand now? Means what? You are on the right path. Understand now? You are having the enlightenment factor that will condition you to become enlightened. That's why you every day too busy. Oh, brother, correct or not? I do like that. Oh, is this equivalent to what? Then you want to report your meditation. Wow, I can see this, I can do this. What for? When the enlightenment factor are still not there, you think you already developed great meditation. You come out from retreat, you say, I experienced this, I can see life, I can see this, I got piti, sukha, everything. So what? These are only enlightenment factors, no. You haven't finished the seven factors of enlightenment, no. Even with piti, it's a sign of progress. But you cannot attach and cling. That's why when virya is there, it will drive you to cultivate until your sati stabilized, then piti will arise. Then when pity arrives, what must you do? You must be aware. Then you just relax into it, anasana. Then pity will transform into sukha. But sukha is not an enlightenment factor. You cannot attach, you cannot cling. If you do direct vipassana or mindfulness, you are okay, you won't get trapped. If you use energy field, one-pointedness, ekagata or absorption meditation, energy field, samatha, you will get trapped in sukha because it's so blissful. That's why you continue to relax into it and let it be. Then sukha will transform further into pasati. Pasati is the fifth enlightenment factor. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Can follow that? So that mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so still. That's why it becomes the silent mind. That is the meditative mind. And the Buddha said, when this enlightenment factor of pasati arises, is there, you are aware. And you will be aware of how the unarisen enlightenment factor come to be and how you develop the perfection of it. Means by completion, how the completion by culture of the arisen enlightenment factor of pasati comes to be. You will understand. And you will know that thing is there. That's why if you cannot cultivate and meditate until the silent mind, you are still far away from enlightenment. Then when you have the silent mind, there is only pasati. You have to continue to relax and stabilize and develop the daily mindfulness until it's so stable, until you can have samadhi in the midst of life, not in formal meditation, until your mindfulness is so clear, so continuous, that there is samadhi, there is strength, but within upacara samadhi, excess concentration, not in apana. That's why this is the real daily mindfulness samadhi. Then again, from there, the enlightenment factors of samadhi will arise. Then when this enlightenment factor of samadhi arises, you will have the ability to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. อนิจจังดุขังอนัตตา because with sati and samadhi your mind is collected and unwavering that in daily life every moment of sense experience your mind does not stir does not react it can see things as they are that it can understand how your mind functions how you become entangled that's why you can develop the wisdom to straighten your view then you will awakenBecause the moment you awaken to the universal characteristic, you are not deluded by the phenomena anymore. You are not deluded by what you come to perceive, by what the mind comes to experience. When you understand the characteristic clearly, it loses the power to delude you. Because like the Buddha says, Sabbe Sankara Anicca, all of Sankara is like that, they come and they go.Then like I used to tell you, it's only a thought. How come it has such power over you? And what is thought? Impermanent. They come and they go. Condition arising, causal phenomena. No reality. Then why are you so gullible, so deluded? Allow it to have such power over you. And condition your mind to stir and become so miserable. Then why do you hold on to all your views and opinions so tenaciously? Your views and opinions come from your conditioning, your wrong view, your belief system. If you cannot see all this, the power of thought to divide, delude, and deceive, and create all this conditioning, you will be trapped in thought. You will not come out of it, because you don't develop sati to be mindful of all this.If your silent mind is not stable, you cannot understand. Then the moment you understand, you straighten your view. Why should I react? Why can't I just accept them for what they are? Based on understanding, based on wisdom. Then like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. Condition like that, situation will be like that. If you want to change, then introduce appropriate condition.Towards achieving it or realizing it. You cannot crave for it. You cannot deludedly try crooked means to get it. There is law of karma. It will hit back. But if you follow Noble Eightfold Path and resolve things amicably and work towards things so that a condition will arise for wholesomeness to arise, that is how you cultivate. That's why you make use of merits, blessings.Your perfection, then you make aspiration by the power of this wholesomeness may arise the causes and condition for me to develop such understanding, for me to actually break all the coming obstruction so that I can walk the path of Dhamma without obstruction, beautifully. And these are the way, because you invoke power of merits through nature's law to arise the causes. You don't interfere, you don't want to know how it happened.But because you are so sincere, you have faith, you persevere, the causes and conditions will arise and you will move. And cultivation is so simple. Don't have to do all those funny things. Understand? Most important thing is your faith, your sincerity and your perseverance. It will pave the way for Dhamma to flow. And this is most beautiful.That's why the whole of cultivation of the seven factor enlightenment become very easy. Then the moment you have this ability to see things as they are and insight into phenomena, you will awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. Anicchang, Dukkang, Anatta. Then you realize everything is just the way it is with this universal characteristic. No reality. Not how to cling hold. Then you no longer deluded. Then you no longerDeceived by the phenomenal world, that everything is just the way it is. You can accept them for what they are. You can see through suchness. Then your mind develop equanimity, enlightenment factor, which is the last one, upeka. Then you come to know your mind does not stir anymore. It can come to accept the reality of everything within the moment for what they are. Because these are the reality.This is what is. This is nature. Cannot be otherwise. The form and mind that has got no craving, got no suffering. The form and mind that has craving and wanting your way has suffering. So this is the ultimate understanding of the seven enlightenment factor of Upeka. That's why don't try to do anything. Don't try to crave for anything. Don't try to become anything. Just let things be. And just make full use of this form and mind to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and use it. Not to be deluded by it, cling on to it, hold on to it, thinking that it's you. That's why there is no more delusion. That's why the green book is very important. Who are you? What are you? And the orange book on defilement is very important. Sabba Asava Sutta. And the seminar paper on understanding life is very important because it explains to you what is life, the meaning of life, purpose of life, and everything that you need to know about life. Then the other books are on meditation, 12 September. That's why all these things just come by itself. We never plan. People just know how to transcribe the talk. Then we edit it. Then it came out and become beautiful Dhamma. And actually you have enough to cultivate. That's why the next two books that we are going to touch on, the Diamond Sutta and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, they are the higher teaching. They are for great beings that really wants to go the way to become Samasambuddha. And it's not difficult. It is the Bodhisattva way, and it can be realized. And there are causes and conditions for it. That's why Kayanamitta requested for it. And it just happened and fall into place. I never initiated anything. But it just happened. Because the time has come. Condition has arisen. I at first intend to do it after my May trip. The whole of May I will be traveling most of the time. I am going for a cruise in Europe, UK and Europe, the Mediterranean country. So I will be away. Today is your last Sunday class. Because next Sunday, Miss Lee got something. Next Sunday you say you got something, isn't it? Yeah, lah, how's Dana? That's why no more class. For you, I know, because of that, we cannot have your class, understand now? So we have to cancel that class. Then after that is my cruise. So that's why I remember this, your last. It's on the 4th. 4th I have to fly to London. But 1st is a holiday. Then 2nd, and 3rd is Saturday and Sunday. Vesak day. So we don't have class. We have a break, which is beautiful. Then after that, come back only, I suppose, to start the class. But some of the Kayanamitta couldn't wait. They said, Ratu, when are we starting the Diamond Sutta? Then I promised them, this Tuesday. That's why you all can make it. It's very important. Because this Diamond Sutta is very, very unique and very powerful. Ingvi, you try to let Mi Fong and Sui An know, because I don't have time to inform them. If they can, tell them to attend the class. I don't know. Never mind, just inform them. So these are the conditions that has arisen. Okay, now I finish. The fourth foundation. The fourth cultivation on the seven factors of enlightenment. Okay, now we go to the last one. Completion by culture means you have understood it perfectly. It's like your culture. No, it's like your culture, like our Chinese culture. You know, Qing Beng, they go and do this and all, and then Chinese New Year, you salute. Means you have understood the Chinese culture. So here is the same. they use the word perfection by culture. Means it's like you understand your culture, your cultivation, you understood how it come about, understand now. Means you're very familiar with the enlightenment factor, how it arise, and how it's always with you, understand now. That's like the completion by culture. Means you have cultured it, you have cultivated it, understand now. It's like your culture, you understand. Means no need to remember that Che Chop Go, we follow Luna, then Chinese New Year, then Tang Che. People tell you Tang Che, you know what month already. So all the like Chi Gui Pua, you know. So you already very familiar with all this, your culture. But it's your culture. So that's why completion by culture means you have perfected it until you understand so clearly. That's why the whole of meditation is not what people think. Understand? A lot of people last time during the early day, I remember, sometimes I hear that, oh, I no need to do kaya nupasana, I no need to do vedana, I straight away go to mind. Oh, they say they can see mind. I just keep quiet. I got nothing to say. Then after that, I said, mind also no need, go direct to Dhamma. Oh, lagi powerful. You think so easy, Aiyo. Sati also not there, enlightenment factor also not there. Go to Dhamma direct, go to mind direct. You use thought, you never use sati, understand? That's why the whole cultivation is not what you think. Kaya nupasana is a must. You cannot be mindful of your kaya, how can you have sati? Your thought are ahead of your action. You don't believe me, you go and check. Throughout the day, you think a lot. Your thought is far ahead of your action. And when you think the intention, you want to go toilet, as you walk, you are not aware how you walk. Then you think some more, the thought proliferate, continue. And throughout the day, you are busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. You never with the moment, I tell you. You go and check. Only cultivator is with the moment. Most of the time, it's with the moment. You're just aware. Why you want to hurry? Think so fast for what? Haven't think enough for the last 56 years. Heedless for so long, and yet you want to continue. Alicia laugh. She can understand very clearly because she went through that. That's why a lot of this thing is not what people think. I tell you today, make sure it's recorded. You check again. I tell you, if it's not recorded, this is really gone. Don't die here.
Good.
Okay. Very good. Sadhu. You should thank Miss Lee. Hey, don't touch it. If God means leave it. Well, I cannot repeat already. It just come with the condition. Okay, we go on. The last. Then after that we finish. The last category of mindfulness of Dhamma. The last one is four foundation of four noble truth. The four noble truth. Mindfulness of the four noble truth. Page 50. And further, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the four noble truth. How, O bhikkhu, does a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the four noble truth? Here, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu understand. Listen, this is the three turning of the four noble truth. This is suffering according to reality, not according to your concept, idea, and Dhamma knowledge. According to reality, means this is suffering. You have already developed the understanding. Your suffering is to be understood according to reality. Then suffering has been understood, is the patterning. He understands this is the origin of suffering according to reality. He understands. This is the cessation of suffering according to reality. And he understands this is the path that leads to the cessation of suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Again, according to reality. Thus he lives contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma internally. Or he lives contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma externally. And he lived contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma, internally and externally. I tell you, if you go and study this Satipatthana Sutta based on what he written here, you cannot get what it means. Because this one is summarized, the whole of the three turning is summarized into just one paragraph. This is suffering according to reality. Means what? All the three turning, you have already done it. The first turning is what? The Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth. Birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation from loved one and pride possession is suffering. When you are with people whom you don't like is suffering. When you cannot get what you want, expectation in life not met, that is suffering. In short, through your delusion, sakkayadity, self-delusion, you grasp and cling. Defy aggregates of grasping, they are suffering. That's why upadana khandas is dukkha. That is the first turning, according to reality. Then the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. You must understand what they are. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate, inquire one by one into why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand? And then after that, the third turning is what? This noble truth of dukkha has already been understood according to reality. The second noble truth is the same. The cause of suffering is craving. So under the second turning, the Buddha said, this cause which is craving is to be abandoned or severe. Then the third turning, the cause of craving, the cause of suffering which is craving has already been abandoned. That's why according to reality, you have done it. Then the third one is enlightenment in the here and the now. Cessation of suffering, Nibbana, is to be realized, has been realized. Then noble eightfold path, the path that leads to the end of all suffering, that's why there is the meditation, is to be cultivated. Then third turning has been cultivated. That's why if you don't develop the understanding of the three turning, you cannot do it. Then after that he say, thus he live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma internally, or he live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma, the Four Noble Truth, externally. Means what? You see the Four Noble Truth arising and passing away within your form and mind. How they, one by one, condition you into it. Then when you understand yourself, you understand others, you see how other people suffer. How they go through old age, sickness and death. How when they are hit by separation, either through death, separation through divorce, or relationship failure, or various other possibilities like nature's disaster, calamity and all those things. Then when they are with people whom they don't know, you see how they become miserable, how they are afflicted when there is no wisdom, when they lack understanding, because they don't have this teaching. So all this, you see internally your own form and mind, then you see externally. Then later on he said, he lives contemplating this Dhamma or the Four Noble Truth internally and externally. Then you start to see the whole world is full of suffering, the prevalence of suffering. Without wisdom, suffering is everywhere. That's why the real compassion, the real metta arises. That's how it develops the vow to go that way, to release all living beings from suffering, to take across all living beings, to be free from all suffering. So all this, as you cultivate, you will develop the understanding. Then he lives contemplating the origination factors of Dhamma, or he lives contemplating dissolution factor of Dhamma, and he lives contemplating both origination factor and dissolution of Dhamma. And his mindfulness is established with the understanding, not with the thought, with the understanding that Dhamma exists to the extent necessary for understanding. And he lives independent and cling on to not in the world. That's why it's like a rock. You don't hold on to it after that. The Dhamma is like a pointer, direct you to cultivate. Then you don't hold on to Dhamma. That's why the Diamond Sutta make it very, very clear. Thus indeed, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu live contemplating Dhamma in Dhamma of the Four Noble Truths. That's how the Satipatthana ends. When you complete the Four Noble Truths, you sure enlightened already. Then the assurance of attainment. The Buddha said, verily, O bhikkhu, should any person maintain the four foundations of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, then by him one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge here and now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner, which is the third stage of the supramundane fulfillment, that is to become an anagami. Then he said, O bhikkhu, let alone 7 years, should a person maintain this four foundation of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, then by him again, one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge here and now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner or an anagami. Then he said, O bhikkhu, let alone 1 year, should any person or cultivator maintain this four foundation of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 7 months, then by him one or two fruition is proper to be expected. Then he repeat. Then the last one is, O bhikkhu, let alone 7 months, should any person maintain this four foundation of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, even half a month. That's why you only need 2 weeks, not too long. Then by him, one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner or anagami. Then, O bhikkhu, let alone half a month, should any cultivator maintain this four foundation of mindfulness cultivation in this manner for 1 week? Only 1 week, 7 days only, so easy. For a week. Then by him, one or two friction is proper to be expected. Knowledge here and now, or if some form of clinging is yet present, the state of a non-returner or anagami. Because of this, was it said, this is the only way, O bhikkhu, for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the realization of nibbana, namely, the four foundation of mindfulness. Thus spoke the Blessed One, satisfied the bhikkhu approved of his word. So we end. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. So it has been a great sutta for foundation of mindfulness. So clearly explained. Seldom you find this type of explanation and understanding. Because the whole cultivation is not what people think. During the early year, I investigated into it. And finally, when I understand, I just move into it. Then I realize it's all connected. All connected, interrelated. And they are so important and so powerful. But it depends on your path. If you have cultivated before, you save a lot of time. You don't have to be gullible. That's why you must avoid karmic obstruction. Don't be too gullible and too eager to do things when you are not sure. Please try not to do anything. If you are too eager and you get yourself entangled unnecessarily, because when you are not ready, you think you are ready. Then when you meet the wrong group, then you think that is the correct practice. Then you go and promote, you go and donate, you go and do everything. then what happens is, you yourself haven't put to test, you yourself haven't come to that understanding, you're not sure, but you only believe, and you become gullible. Then, if it's not the true way, it can become coming obstruction. That's why I realized, through the last 10 years plus of sharing, there are a lot of very sincere cultivators, but they have coming obstruction. But you don't worry, as long as you ask for forgiveness, it will come to pass. But you have to do it sincerely with understanding. Then the other thing about the Diamond Sutta is, now only I come to understand, where it was clearly stated inside there. He said, let's say you like Sakyamuni Buddha, you remember? The Chincha incident and all those things. A lot of these great cultivators, because in the past they, through delusion, ignorance, they did all those things. Then they caused their karmic obstruction to be there. And you know, in this Diamond Sutta, it was mentioned, no? If you have this karmic obstruction, he said, this sutta can help you to break them, no? And you really break on it. Because he said, as you cultivate this sutta, as you understand and you develop the sharing, then if there are some who got karmic negativity when they come and disturb you, according to that sutta, your karmic obstruction all gone, no? Straight away disappear. Then after that, you will be able to what they call develop the causes and conditions to become Samma Sambuddha. The whole highway like clear for you. That's why he said, because these are the conditions when you already have that type of understanding and perfection, and somebody come and do this to you, means you already pay back all your debt. Then because this sutta is so powerful, that's why the Buddha actually mentioned about the perfection of patient Kanti when he was an ascetic. Remember, he met the king of Kaliga, who was actually Kondanya in that life. He said, if he has not cultivated the Diamond Sutta understanding of the perfection of patience, where there is no mark of any self on anything, when the king, he said, take apart all the four limbs, the limb will never come back, he said, if you got any thought of a mark. You know what is a mark? Right? Like the whole whiteboard, huh? You put a small mark there. Huh? Not a stain, it's a small mark only. Right? The very subtle defilement. Even the mark of non-self is a mark, understand? Right? Mark of living being, you say, is a mark, understand? Right? The mark which is no mark. That's why you go for exam, you want 100 mark. No mark is the best. Zero mark, empty. That's why when you do charity, you say, oh, saying, if you got a mark, it's far, far away the merit. You wait till I start the sutta, you say, it's very, very interesting and very powerful. I think just nice, 4:30 we finish. Oh, still got 5 minutes. You got question or not? Yes.
Matthew, I remember you mentioned before this Satipatthana is a cultivation for Samma Sati, the number seven factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. But if we go after we go through, and then you said this is the only path, the last part there, right? Will be cool for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow, lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path for attainment of Nibbana. Mainly the four foundation of mindfulness.
Yes.
And then because number five, the fifth, the last one of the last. Perfect, not perfect, the last cultivation with Dhamma Nusati is four noble truths also.
Yeah.
Whereas four noble truths also cover
noble eightfold path.
So it's not necessary only teach us how to cultivate samasati.
No, you have to understand it this way. I know what your question is. Why are you driving that way? I already explained this before in many of our sharing. You see, the problem with people, cultivator, is they say, the Buddha said, only way, you know, I do four foundation of mindfulness, enough. You cannot blame them, understand? They quote the Buddha, you know, and they say, Buddha say, you know, only way, you know. So what they do? They just do mindfulness of this four thing. And yet the mindfulness they do, they don't understand. But do you know the last foundation, Dhammanupassana, and the last cultivation, the Four Noble Truths, is so summarized, so scantily summarized. If you finish the whole lot of four foundation of mindfulness, including the last category of cultivation of Dhammanupassana, the Four Noble Truths, with its complete understanding of the three turning, then yes, it covers the Noble Eightfold Path. But how many people can understand that? That's why, in order to prevent confusion, I always say, this is samasati only, one of the path factor. After that, you have to cultivate right view, that condition, right thought, right speech, right action, right life view, and right effort. Then the real sati and samasati. If you don't go through the three turning to cultivate right view everything, I really ask, what type of enlightenment is it? You are still so crude with your understanding of the nature's law that governs life. It means you don't have right view. You only believe you know. Then right view condition right speech. You don't have right speech. You didn't cultivate. You don't have right thought. You don't have right action. You don't have right livelihood. You are so crude in the way you communicate with people. You act and you think and arise your thought. So what type of enlightenment is it? So that is to prevent complacency and confusion. That's why I say it's only one of the path factor. And the Buddha is never wrong. It's just like right effort. You remember? Towards the end of the cultivation, there is no effort. It's just a deep mindfulness leading to heedful. You go and quote the Buddha, hey, Noble Eightfold Path got right effort. No, you say no need effort. They argue with you. It's your understanding. That effort is for the thought. That's why the Buddha said, right effort to abandon what? The unwholesome thought that has arisen. Thought, you use effort. Mindfulness of the four foundations, you don't use effort. Understand? And virya is not effort. Virya is spiritual zeal, tenacity. That's why the two words are different. Right effort is samavayama. Understand? Whereas this spiritual zeal is virya. But the problem with English translation is they go and translate virya as effort. Energy and effort, right effort. And they put it very clearly, right effort. And there was one actually shocking one is he wrote the book See You in Nibbana. Then I saw him translate virya as right effort. The two Pali words are different. And it was translated because he used the English word to interpret the meaning. Nothing right and wrong. He is just the way he is. He understanding like that, he will do like that. That's why in order to avoid all this confusion and misunderstanding, it is important to let people know that the whole cultivation involves the Noble Eightfold Path. So if you understand like what we went through, that the last category of cultivation within Dhammanupassana is the Four Noble Truths, you make sure you understand what that cultivation is, the three turning. There is summarized so scantily, understand? The only word he put there is according to reality. You miss that word, you are gone, understand? And you still think, you know. That's why Dhamma is very, very difficult to understand when there is no clear understanding. And the true Dhamma is very, very profound, I tell you. It's simple, but it's very profound. Simple to those who understand. Profound because not many people understand. Very, very few people understand. So you understand now. Simple to those who can understand. But in this world, there are very, very, very few who understand. So that concludes what you need to understand. Because to me, the Dhamma is really simple. The Buddha has already actually all over the Sutta, repeat and repeat his advice, stressing to you the importance of sati everywhere. And human beings are very funny. They don't even want to know what sati is. They straight away they want to go into vipassana, jnana, jhana, all those big, big words. Then heart sutta, diamond sutta, six page platform sutta, wow, all the sutta, pratya paramita sutta. End of the day, essential dhamma also cannot understand. The basic enlightenment factor of sati also don't have. And I ask you a very simple question. How can you cultivate when you don't even know what sati is? Knowing what sati is the beginning. No? Then putting into practice and cultivating sati is the second stage. No? Then after you have sati, stabilize it, to use it to cultivate in daily life is just the beginning of real cultivation. No? Understand not? And you think you already 30 years, 40 years in and out of retreat, you already understood. Good luck to you. It's not to say we want to like comment this way. It's just to let living being understand. Because this is what the Buddha advised. And you can't even see all the message that he put inside there. It's too bad. That's why when you don't have clarity of the whole picture, there is no way you can teach and share. Because you yourself is in a maze. You yourself cannot see. You yourself also doing like zigzag puzzle, bits and pieces. You do one essential Dhamma, then you do another one there. Then you think that is meditation. Then you learn from people this method, this technique. Now, then you keep on doing the method and technique, not knowing what they are and for what purpose you do. Because you don't have the clear picture of what the teaching is all about. That's why all the essential Dhamma, they are interconnected. And your focus is very simple. The Buddha already mentioned, you only need to have one quality of mind, heedfulness. You are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 22-23 confirmed that. He said, distinctly understand the big difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. The wise intend on heedfulness. And because they do that, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. So you only need to be heedful. Right? So difficult, no? Is it difficult? It's not difficult, actually. To be heedful is fairly simple. But with that heedfulness, there is still a lot of work to do, understand? No? You need to use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And that one is not easy to understand. Understand? You are within Noble Eightfold Path. There is the Four Noble Truths. Everything is inside there. Because the right view inside also got Four Noble Truths. First right view is Law of Karma. Second one is Law of Mind. Third one is Law of Dhamma. The first category of Dhamma you have to understand is the Four Noble Truths. And there is a right view. That's why the first and the last, they have the Four Noble Truths. That's why you must complete at least the first and the last. Then the in-between, automatic. But when you don't have clarity, you cannot see the teaching. The message is so clear, but like I said, simple for those who understand. But difficult for those who cannot understand. And in this world, there are very, 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 very few who understand. And that is the problem. So, it has been a beautiful session so far. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Any more questions? Don't have, then you all can meditate. Yeah, Chui, yes. pass the tree.
Sorry, Brother Teo, because a little bit not too good at it. The assurance of attainment is listed here as 7 years. But in actual fact, when we look at it, it's like 7 lifetimes, is it?
No,
but
no.
But I mean 7 years is like fast track.
No, no. 7 years is the longest.
Longest. But what about this thing about 7 human lifetimes and all that? Where does that come in?
No, nobody... That one is different. As a sotapan, if you are very contented, then you want to stay as a sotapan like King Saka. He want to be reborn 6 more times. You have maximum 7 births. So you take your time. It's already definitely you will become enlightened. So if you want to play, then allow it. Don't progress so fast. Even though 7 years longest, you already sotapan after 1 week, then you can take your time. You can come back 7 more lives.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, yeah. Before I forget, you better get it right. No? You don't say, Brother Teo, say maximum 7 years. No? I got a hell of a time left. No? 7 years means what? 7 years of continuous practice with understanding of what this foundation of mindfulness is all about. No? Ever mindful and throughout the day you do. No? From kaya, vedana, internally, externally, citta, and dhamma. And nobody takes 7 years if you really do it like that. Because most of them do very fast. And you don't need 7 years. 7 years is too long, actually. There was one 7-year-old arahant during the Buddha's time. He only takes 7 days. He only 7 years old. And he was the teacher of Tuchuputola, that venerable anti-scriptural monk, the elderly monk. That monk, if I'm not wrong, is Sariputta's brother. Venerable Sariputta's brother. 7 years old. The mother, actually, he gave birth to so many arahants. Sariputta's mother. This one must have paramiya. Oh, become mother. You can give birth to one arahant. Oh, you parami. Jabelia. It cannot finish. So sometimes advantages to be a mother. You only give to. There are so many eons and eons of birth and death. Only one life you strike lottery. One arahant come out. Or one Buddha come out. Or Bodhisattva come out. But you make sure you're good mother. If you're not a good mother, so too bad. Then it can like, they say, cut both ways. But most of the time, if they choose you to be parent or mother, you show beautiful parami. Because these beings, they know. Yes, Alicia, push it out. Push it out all the way.
Hello?
You were saying just now the Four Noble Truths of the right view and the last one. Can you elaborate a little
Sama. Not the last one, sorry. The seventh one. Samasati. Samasati is the seventh one. Not the eight. The eight is samadhi, but they are connected in the cultivation. So the first one is right view. Right view got three. First is karma niyama, the first nature's law, spiritual law that governs life and existence. Then the second one is citta niyama. Citta niyama is nature's law that governs operation of mind, all of your mind state. So that one includes dependent origination, paticca samuppada. The third right view is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama means nature's order on truth. And the most important truth is the Four Noble Truths. Yeah, that is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So that's why when you have that right view, you would have cultivated the Four Noble Truths. Then you would have understood the whole teaching. That's why it will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, then right livelihood or right living. then the right effort, then you have right mindfulness. Within the mindfulness, the fourth foundation is Dhammanupassana again. So the last category of cultivation is still the Four Noble Truths. So both of them has the Four Noble Truths. Sorry, it's not the last Noble Eightfold Path Factor. It's the seventh, number seven. Right mindfulness, yes. The first and the seventh, not the last. Anything else anymore? Yes. The seven is Samasati. Right living, right living, living. Then right effort, then right mindfulness and right samadhi. you remember Salem Cut. Salem Cut. This is what they call skillful means. Salem Cut. Cut, you bring this on our. So this C, you join with this UT. So this one is right view or right understanding. Okay, first one. Right view or right understanding. Second one is right thought. Thought. Third one is speech. Then this is action. Then this is living. Some call it right livelihood, but it's the actual word should be living. Then this one effort. Then this one sati or mindfulness. Mindfulness. And then this one, samadhi. Actually, this one should be S, samadhi in Pali, but they use the English translation as concentration. It's not concentration, samadhi. Okay. In Mandarin, they call Ba Zhen Fang. So,
Can I do another question?
Can.
This thing about reality, according to reality,
Yes.
Can you just refresh us a bit on what is the meaning of reality?
Reality is whatever that can explain the way things are. Understand or not? Can follow or not? Whatever that can explain the way things are is the reality, is the truth. Understand or not? That's why that essential teaching or the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. These are truths that points towards the reality. And the Buddha said, the first Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of dukkha, of suffering. Means this is a Noble Truth that points towards the truth of suffering. Then he explained clearly in the proclamation, what constitutes suffering? He said there are eight realities in life. When you confront them without wisdom, suffering will arise. What are the eight realities? He said each and every living being, not only human being, if we live long enough, we will confront them. The first four is birth, old age, sickness and death. You agree or not? These are reality. Every living being has to go through. You have to experience them. There's separation from your loved one or possession, whether divorce or death or whatever, or misunderstanding, argument. There is a lot of relationship failure that leads to separation. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, this is a reality. Then when you cannot get what you want, this is a reality. When your expectations are not met, when you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. Then in short, he summarized all of suffering as your attachment to this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being and its thought process. The self-delusion, the condition, the grasping and the clinging. And this is the reality of this form and mind. That's why this form and mind is not you. That's why he said, don't grasp, don't cling, don't be deluded by it. That's why you read the green book, who are you, what are you? So use it, not to be deluded by it. That's why the Diamond Sutta also say, can a Sotapan, after he has become a Sotapan or realized Sotapan, has a thought that he is a Sotapan? No way, the Buddha said. Unless it's a fake one. Or the fake one, the ego is down. Oh, I already Sotapan, I already break through the first three fetters. Oh, they tell you, oh, no more rite and ritual. Then he understood Sakayaditi, self-delusion. Not me, not self. So all this is what people believe. But if you really achieve and realize, of course, we rejoice, sadhu, but not easy. So these are the realities of life and existence. You have to confront them, the Buddha said. That's how he can summarize to you all of life. The eight reality actually summarize to you all of the condition arising world, mundane aspect of life. There is nothing within the mundane world that you experience through life that is not in the noble, first noble truth, eight reality. You can go and check. Everything involved that form and mind. Understand? That's why the final summary covers everything. And the first seven also cover almost everything. Then the fourth noble truth and the third noble truth that talk about enlightenment covers the supramundane aspect of life. That's why I say this four noble truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, can explain to you clearly the secret of life. All of mundane and supramundane. Who in this world or universe can have this understanding unless he's the real Samasa Buddha? That's why in the year 1971, the moment I read the four noble truths, my nature tell me, no need to search. This is the real one. Because that time very funny, you know, even my mind inside tell me, you know, even if I had become enlightened like the Buddha, there is no way I can summarize all my understanding into just four noble truths, so beautiful, so concisely, and so clearly. That's why I realized he is the real one. After that, I no more searching. I used to look at the sky, the stars, then ask the question, who am I, what am I, what am I doing here? Just a speck of dust in this universe. But living beings think they are very great. We are just one of the 6 billions plus human beings, the human race on this planet Earth. And Earth is just one of the miserable third planet from this solar system. And every sun is a potential sun or bigger. And within the galaxy, not universe, no, our Milky Way, there are billions and billions and billions of stars. I mean, this whole universe, like the Buddha said, the number of stars that is in the heaven is more than the sand on the Ganges River. You know Ganges River, how long or not? You know how much sand is it? Every sand, one star, the star's number are more than the sand on the Ganges. 2,000 over years without telescope and Hubble telescope, how can he know? That's why he is the Sammasambuddha, understand? That's why he is very, very wise. He has perfected himself through this cultivation. And his teaching is so penetrative. Nothing in this universe he cannot understand and explain to you. That's why I had so much joy when I read the Four Noble Truths. Then I knew, no need to search, that's it. Because this is the only teaching that can explain to me all of life, both the mundane and supramundane. I don't have to search anywhere. Even as a technical science student, as a civil engineer later on, I realized the Buddha's wisdom is fantastic. Fantastic. Wait till we start the Diamond Sutta. It's a very powerful sutta. Want to rain already. Yeah. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, yes. Can. Yeah.
You talked about 7 years continuous mindfulness. Yes. Yeah. But let's say you do maybe 2 months, 2 years, whatever, and then you stop. When you come back again, do you still have to do another 7 years?
Okay, very good question. Now I just give you one very simple example. When the primitive man want to make fire, how they do? They spin a stick or something against the rock, isn't it? Let's say you spin until the spark about to come out, then you stop. Then the next time when you start, you have to start all over again, isn't it? Same lah. Start all over again lah. Before that spark come, you are so complacent. You are not serious. But this one needs continuous mindfulness and heedfulness. So before that spark come, you stop. Next time you start all over again. Then when you want to do rain right now, so how to spark? The condition not there. Rain means condition not there. Then the worst is one. Do until you can see the spark coming now before you light rain. Means what? Destructive karma.
I asked that because Alicia and I was discussing whether or not we just do a bit and then we come back and say,
You remind me of
1 month is done.
You remind me of one person I heard of in Brickfield during the early day. I tell you, you will laugh. This one, I think it was the year 1986. I think he's a lay person. He was teaching Vipassana. Then I was nearby. I overheard one thing that he told those students. He said, mindfulness is like that, is it? You can accumulate one, is it? He said, you are mindful one moment. Then when you accumulate enough of this mindfulness moment, one day, where he's an accountant, I think, when you have accumulated enough moment of mindfulness, then you become enlightened. You agree or not? When I heard that, I walked away. Because actually, if got something, I will listen on. But the moment he say like that, means mindfulness, he doesn't understand what mindfulness is all about. It's not you can accumulate moment by moment one. Not like that one. As long as you are not continuous in your mindfulness, samasati cannot come. That's why I say, the Buddha say, anapanasati is to train your mind to be aware, then stabilize it. That's why you have the mind-sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking, then the puja to strengthen your spiritual faculty, then after that, anapanasati to stabilize your mindfulness. Then only you go into the four foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupasana. Immediately after anapanasati, you do four posture, mindfulness of the four posture, to anchor your mind, to be aware, to be within the moment. Then daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. If you don't do these three, you forget about meditation, because the sati sampajana is the daily mindfulness. Throughout the day, you are mindful. Then only you apply it to the four foundation. Okay?
So if we do say 1 year, let's say, assume. Theoretically, this is the mind speaking, if we can do 1 year, your momentum will be there. And you can just continue to the next 7 years.
I give you an example. You play badminton or not? In your you also can. You know what is badminton or not? If you have not trained until you so skillful, the moment you stop playing, I tell you, you will lose your stroke, everything. You become very clumsy and you have to start training again. But when you train until you're very skillful, which was what I did as a student until uni, even now, 20 over years, I haven't hold the racket. You pass to me, my stroke are still with me. I can still flick and do other stroke. Why? Because I train. That's why not until you train, until you already cross the street, means at least a sotapan. Then you can take your time. Otherwise, the tortoise will catch up with you. The tortoise that slowly, they will catch up with you. Because you can only be complacent after you have penetrated at least the first stage of sainthood. Otherwise, you better, like the Buddha said, strive on with faithfulness. If like that, everybody also can, like shortcut. Hey, Sister Chui say can, no, we do 1 year, we break. Half a year, we go tour, then come back, we start again. No. Then we momentum there, we continue. you can actually find out for yourself. But if your parami is very good from your past, you don't have to worry. Maybe in the past you already done. So you can afford to go and lepa. Then suddenly one day, you become very serious.
I'm just going to need it. You said quite often that Dharma is everywhere, truth is everywhere.
Yes.
For those who see, they always see. And why can't you see?
Yes.
Right?
Wow, very good. Wow, you must be listening. You must have listened to it.
Subconsciously.
Or you read the Hatsutta book one.
No, I've been reading your stuff.
You have been reading the stuff. Yeah.
So if you say that, sometimes I think I always see. But is that false? Is it the mundane mind? Sometimes maybe that's called doubt.
Okay. Okay.
Would you like to comment on that?
Can. The first comment is very simple. The moment you have doubt, that is not the real seeing. If you really see, no doubt one. You will know what the thing is on. That's not. Because what you refer to seeing is knowledge. Knowledge-based, mundane seeing. You think you know. That's not. You think you understand the words. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? Then just now you asked me what is reality. Means you cannot understand the difference between reality and truth. The two are the same. That's why I say when you ask like that, means you haven't penetrated, you haven't had the understanding.
But when I think I got it...
The word is very important. When I T-H-I-N-K. That one is very important.
I say I have it. Just use that on the track.
No problem.
I say I have it. And then people will come around and tell me, no, you haven't got it. You got it all wrong. And so on and so forth. And then if we hold on to that sort of view, there will be people that will say, oh, shucks, she is so rigid. She doesn't know what she's doing. And so on and so forth.
So what are you going to do when you hear that?
Well, when I stick to my view, I stick to my view.
Wow.
But
you are also
maybe,
what you are.
So
they are also what they are. Understand?
So I in a way, I'm worried that we are not following the right path.
It's nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with.
As we know it.
I know nothing to do with whether you are on the right path, following the reality or not, because nature's law of karma governs everything. You are what you are because of your karma, the Buddha said. You are born of it, had to it, condition is supported by it, and you are what you are because of your karma. Each and every living being is like that. So they are just the way they are. So it's not a question of what your thought say. Your thought can say anything. But ultimately, the one that called the shot is law of karma. So you have not done sufficiently. That's why you reap what you sow. That's why the focus is on the cultivation. Forget about whether you enlighten or you're not yet enlightenment. The thought keep on questioning. You just do. My advice is what? Don't try to know. That's it, huh? Just do. Don't try to know. Who is trying to know? The thought trying to know. The thought capable. Am I doing right? I think I am doing right. I think I am. That thinking is what the mundane mind speculate. That's enough. Your view. So your view can be anything. But the law that governs, the one that has the final say, is nature's law. That's enough. Law of karma. That's why I say, as long as you are sincere, you have the faith, and you persevere, the Dhamma will be there. The causes and conditions will be fulfilled, and you will awaken. That's why don't try to know, just do, silent, be patient. The one that is not patient, a lot of negativity when I tell you, because the views and the opinion can come through the back door and continue to stir you and make you behave. It's just like your question, when you think you already can see, then what if you use the word, somebody come around and tell you, no, you didn't see. Then you get agitated. Then you say, I stick to my gut. Then argument. That is not noble eightfold path. That is not understanding. That is not trying to share sincerely. That is trying to be right. Right according to who? You never check. That's not. So the reality is no right, no wrong. People are just the way they are. You are the way you are. She is the way she is, or he is the way he is. So the world is the world. Humanity, living beings are just the way they are. The world is just the way the world is. Because all of the causes and conditions at this moment is like that. It has to be like that. That's enough. Earlier on, the bird chip, because there is condition to chip very loudly. Then the weather want to rain, then it rain. That's enough. Your condition is like that. But if you say, I don't want the bird to chip when I'm listening to the Dhamma. Oh, your thought has the right to do that. But the bird is the bird. Understand not? In Cantonese, they say, Choi Lei Tung Ong. So, you will continue to chip. So, just like your chattering mind, when you are still heedless, when you don't have the spiritual faculty, you will continue to chatter. You will continue to comment. And say a lot of things inside there. So outwardly, you may be quiet or silent, but inwardly, you are very noisy. So the trained mind is very different. The trained mind that is aware is inwardly very quiet, very peaceful. So in order to understand whether you have really progressed and have that thing or not, like what we went through just now, are the enlightenment factors there? Are you mindful throughout the day? Are you investigating the Dhamma? Do you have viriya? Or you have views and opinion? These are different things. Then do you have pity, joy? Or every day you're not happy with what people say, upset with this and that? So you can check easily. Then if there is pity leading to paucity, which is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditation, then you know you are on the path. Understand? And this one is not chattering. You can ask Alicia. She also can do it. Inside nothing. Throughout the day, hardly any thought. You think she meditate? She hardly meditate, formal meditation. You can ask her. She smile and laugh. Because she straightened her view through listening to my talk continuously. And that is what she did. And she keep on laughing and smiling. So nowadays, she got so much joy and happiness. Why? That is pity. Sukha. Understand? That's why when you cultivate, when you are on the path, you straighten your view, all these enlightenment factors are there. Then she said, now, everything he sees from the heart, like the fish. Understand now? He said, the awareness and the fish move as one. Last night cannot see like that, last night the head keep on perceiving her. Now, from here you see, how come like that? Oh, then the fish can talk to her. Why is it like that? That's why cultivation is not what you think. But when you really go into it and you understand what it is, all this will happen. Then it becomes like so clear to you, so beautiful, so much joy. And she can understand things very fast. Very fast. Then you see how she transformed from depression, you know, 15 over years, you know, within 3 years, come out with Samonel Maya. Now the mind becomes so beautiful. Can understand all this with so much joy and go retreat last time. Next day, want to run back already. Now, after the retreat, you see, he enjoy, he want to stay longer some more. Oh, it can. He said, wow, now so fast, 9 days over already. That's why it's so different. Then you can see her joy, her happiness. And not only her, there are a few more Kayanamita also like that. So these are what the cultivation is all about. If you really, really serious, do it. All these are possible. So this is to give faith, understand? So that it's not only Brother Teo alone can do, all the rest cannot do, then I lie to you, understand? But if other people also can do, means what? You don't get it right yet, understand? You are not serious yet, because they are serious, and they have their path. And many of them are now on the way, very fast they will move. Especially last year, this year, and after the May, after I come back. Because now the consciousness, the energy, they are very, very different. You can feel it on the Tuesday class, the Thursday class, and even this Sunday. They are very different. Even our house done now, everything. Now the consciousness is very different. And when Kayanamita move, I tell you, the whole consciousness is going to be very different. Because all these Kayanamita, they got their nature not fully manifested yet. They still don't know. Later when they come to know, I tell you, you are not here by chance, I tell you. You are here because of your past affinity, your past cultivation. Now Chu is very excited.
Brother Chu, I was reading the WhatsApps. There was a very good question which Sister Cheng Hun brought up. She asked you, can you talk about karma and dana? Because you're talking about karma and all that. So how do we improve our karma?
Okay, so now we skip meditation. We go into Dhamma. Okay, I can wrap. Never mind, since there is condition, I will explain a little bit. Because sometimes these are the conditions that not only you all want to know, up there want to know. So we will share this. The difference between karma and dana. Okay, we can have a discussion, very simple. What is karma? And what is dana? How are they related? Any relation or not? More important question. The two words are different, isn't it? But how are they related? Very good.
I just tried. Yes, no problem. Sure.
You will understand.
Can I say I do the dana with understanding so that I can. What do you call
sadhu?
Sadhu.
Very good. I know. I understand. Very good. Sadhu. We all rejoice. Sadhu. You see, the word can be very simple. No? Dana. I do dana. No, I offer to the monk. No, I donate money. No. You know what she said? If you do dana with understanding, that makes the big difference. One do without understanding. Do because people do. Oh, they say very good. Got merit. So your action is out of what? Out of merit. What is merit? It's a gain. It's a greed. Understand? So it's not a pure action. You have merit. But compared to one who do with understanding, the merit is... The merit is world apart. So that's why everything you do, you must have this word. You do with understanding. This is the most important. That's why you must do with understanding. Then what is karma? Karma is one of the great spiritual laws that governs all of our life, even all of living beings' life and existence. Like the Buddha already mentioned clearly, is that every day, he told the monk, there are 5 daily contemplations that you must reflect and contemplate. What is the last one? Huh? Just now, Jui already said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, even in our chanting book. You can read. So if you understand that law of karma is so powerful, so important, what must you do? You must? What must you do? Take care of karma, isn't it? How you take care of karma? Huh? Avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. This is the advice of all Buddha. How do you avoid all evil? Keep your precept. How to keep? Train your mind to be ever mindful. Understand not? Then, how to do good? Do good, you go and do dana with understanding. Understand not? Don't just go and do because people say, hey, I make offering to monk. That monk, more enlightened or more senior. Oh, I must offer to him. Understand not? Means? You have greed to offer to that monk. But if you understand, you do understanding means what? Got condition, things will arise. Then you will do. Then you will realize you are very lucky one. Somehow, that monk will appear and you will do in front. I give you an example. During the year 1986, I remember, Master Xuan Hua, he came to KL. I think he was giving Dhamma talk every night at the Buddhist Oakland Road. Buddhist Association. I went with my wife. Every night I do the recording and I listen to his talk. You know what happened or not? On the third day, I don't know what, we are always on the upstairs. We are downstairs, so full, packed with people. Upstairs, less people. Not many know. But that day, upstairs also full. Then you know what happened? Suddenly, the news came out that one of the Master Xuan Hua's very close, I don't know, friend or disciple, I forgot already, wanted to see him. And he has agreed to come and see him. So they want to avoid the crowd down there. They came upstairs. So when they came upstairs, they were waiting for Master Xuan Hua. I also didn't know. I was doing the recording with my wife. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, they realized Master Xuan Hua came out with the disciple. Then he was about to move on to meet this so-called friend or don't know what. The crowd become like very excited. Everybody rushed to make offering in front of him and want to pay respect to him. Then you know what happened? He stopped. He said, you all come out some more, I go in. So everybody told the lie. Then I told my wife, don't do anything. I told my wife, I said, don't do anything. We also got spare ang pao, just in case the opportunity arises. So I just say, you just kneel in front. I kneel here, she kneel over the other side. And you know what happened? We just make aspiration to make the offering. Then he walk out. Then he meet. After he meet, then he want to go in. Then a lot of people want to make offering to him. Then you know what he said? He said, don't come. He said, if you come, I will go in. Then, very funny. He walked towards me. Then I pay respect and offer. Then he turned to my wife. Pay respect and offer. Then after that, he go in. You ask yourself, how did it happen? Because he can feel. He understand. If I have the greed, rush there. Want to offer also. Then gone. But because I have the faith, I have the understanding, and my mind very calm, very clear. And I had this intention to offer. Well, when I was in the uni, I don't have the means. Well, I haven't worked. That's why I tell myself, if I see him again, I will do whatever that I miss out when I was a student, when I don't have the ability, and I will do it. And the opportunity came, you know, immediately I make that resolve. One Christian lady in my office came in and gave me some form. You know. I thought Christian donation. I said, okay, I do that. Then I look, wow, Master Sun Hall visit. You know. Like that was okay. Then everything fall into place. I said, give me more form. I said, oh, I didn't know he is here. Then I contacted, my wife told me, one of the classmate brother, the lady classmate's brother, was ordained under Master Sun Hall, and he was in the contingent delegation. So we contacted him and make offering through him. That was the first time I donated $500 offering. Then together with some requisite, everything we just give. That is what you do. You resolve and you do it. Understand? You don't have greed. Got condition, do no condition, never mind. So this is the two different understanding. Then the Buddha say, without dana, you cannot really cultivate. That's why to do the meditation, the Buddha say, after dana, you must have sila before you go into bhavana, which is the meditation. So now you know, and you understand how the teaching come about. It is from this law of karma. Law of karma. That everything come. That's why this is do good. This is avoid all evil. This is purify your mind. Understand? That's why the whole teaching is here. The advice of the Buddha. So this is do good. And you invoke the power of merits for aspiration. Then this is to avoid all evil. That's why if you do dana, sila, and bhavana, you follow the advice of the Buddha. Based on what? Law of karma, right view. That's how the whole teaching come about. That's why without right view, you don't know how to move. That's why Noble Eightfold Path has this very important right view, law of karma. And they are all related, understand? That's why the whole Dhamma is linked when you understand. That's why I say they also want to listen, not only you. Okay, can follow? Any more questions? Yes.
Following from that, Brother Teo, that means we have to do all three to get maximum benefit. If you do one and two, two and three, one and three.
Very important
work,
is
right?
You look at Alicia laughing. She laughed until now. Don't talk about maximum or minimum. Because that mundane mind every time want to optimize. Oh, maximum. I must do all three. If you can do one at a time with understanding, the word is with understanding, you will benefit tremendously. Understand only do. Do with understanding. Meditation also same. Otherwise you do without understanding. You come attend Diamond Sutta, then you understand. The merit is so different. The Diamond Sutta, this Tuesday, we're going to start. Any more questions? Yeah, up there rejoicing like anything. Any more questions? You see, that word let go, I already told you, if you hold, you cannot let go. But because you have a little bit of understanding, you have straightened your view a bit, then you can manage it better. It's not to say you let go. You're not so attached to it. You don't give so much meaning because you understand no point. End of the day, you suffer if you continue to attach and cling. But when you let go, that is for people who is deluded. If you are deluded, you cannot let go on a hurt. Because the deluder will hold. Understand? You hold because to you is important. But the word say, if I hold, I suffer. I must let go. So how you let go? You think you don't hold physically, you let go. But inwardly, you still unhappy, understand not? Inwardly, you haven't let go, understand not? At the mind level, you never let go. Verbally, you let go, understand not? Most people are like that. But the moment you already have the understanding and the wisdom, you don't hate that person anymore, understand not? You don't already have anything to do with that person. Means you are not holding on to it, you are not thinking about it, understand not? So when you understand, you don't hold. Then, what is there? A need to let go. Only deluded people who hold need to let go, understand not? And if it's deluded, you cannot let go. Because at the heart, it never let go. And this is in the Diamond Sutta, understand not? Yeah, you outwardly, verbally let go. Inwardly attached. Means what? You are lying to yourself. So when it comes to this thing, the other thing that his, her question is based on is that I let go, I become more fat. Means what? Means he don't understand. You become more fat because you got less worry, then you eat a lot. You eat too much. You don't have the awareness to be mindful of food, understand or not? If you are mindful of food, you are aware, you will understand that this body only needs so much, understand or not? If I overeat, I become fat, and it will affect my health. And if you have that understanding, you will know what to do, understand or not? Just like the Dhamma, you know the law of karma, you will know what to do. Hang on. So be mindful of what you eat. No, you won't be fat if you don't eat. Because correct, relax and happy, but doesn't mean you don't have to maintain your physical. Your physical you can maintain. That's why I say you can go and do your gardening. And you can go and do many things that can actually keep you active. Then you can actually reflect and contemplate on the Dhamma, because once you become complacent, then you go back to your old way, you think you know, then you stop cultivating, understand not? Then when you got problem only, you start to reflect again, contemplate again, then want to come and attend class again. When there is no problem, then most people are like that. So if you don't have that, then it's good. But this is what human being is all about, understand? When they got no more problem, when they got no more problem, the Dhamma is not important. But when they have problem, the Dhamma become important again. Then they run and come. So if you have this style of mind tendency, then you tell yourself, your life, you have to decide what is it that you want. Because you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely a choice. Decide wisely. And not only this mind, this style of understanding can liberate your mind and free you. Not only this life, but subsequent life, life after life, if you determine to have this understanding, whenever you arise, or you choose to come, or you have to come, if you determine, aspire with determination. This understanding can come. It is very beautiful. Okay? Can. Yeah. The mind. Use the mind. I know, you know. Yes. You have to take care of him, yeah.
He has blacked out on me.
Yes.
I don't want to let him
alone. That one is very good. Very good.
Now Sunday is the best day. But then Sunday is always bad for me.
Oh, okay.
That disturbs my peace already.
Oh,
okay. I wish they will ring up like overseas people.
Yeah.
I'm coming. You know, I think like at 3 o'clock I'm not in.
So now you start to understand the condition behind cultivation.
Yeah.
Huh? You want to cultivate, but the other half, you have to have the understanding. That's why you have to really, really decide. Because you cannot be selfish anymore. Because the husband is actually six ten inside the heart artery. Then need care and attention. So you cannot be selfish as to neglect him. So you have a duty as a wife, but you don't worry. Because Dhamma cultivation can be done in the midst of life. Then all of the talk are recorded. So you can still listen, and you can still learn, no problem. Like today's talk is recorded, so they are all very, very beautiful. So try not to have this lack of understanding that, oh, because I need to off the wireless, because I need to take care of my husband, I cannot attend. Nothing wrong with whether can attend or cannot attend. It's what you do when you are with yourself. Even when you are taking care of him, you can learn a lot of Dhamma. The first noble truth reality, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You understood and understand clearly through your husband's situation. And there's a lot of wisdom there. If you don't understand, you will attach and cling, and you will be afflicted. But when you understand, there is no more panic, no more agitation. Just like what happened to Alicia at the retreat. Last time, this type of news affect her very badly, you know, very agitated, she panic already. But this time around, nothing happened. No. You can be so peaceful and so happy, you know, so attentively. Just listen, understand, and do what she has to do. And the mind becomes so different. Then she said, wow, so funny. She tells Yun Chan, I remember. Oh, how come like that one? So different. Because the mind that understands is so different. No longer like before. Small, small thing, a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, agitated, disturbed already. Cannot do things already. Because bad news and all those things. So Dhamma is everywhere. If you can have the mindfulness and the awareness, you will develop the understanding. You will be able to contemplate and reflect and straighten your view. That's how you can free and liberate your mind. And all this is not difficult. You only need to be heedful, mindful, aware. That's why daily life is the real meditation. Life itself is the real teacher. You learn a lot from life. I learn a lot from life. Yes, can.
Yeah.
Put the mic up on her mouth.
I asked a young neighbor.
Yeah, that was a very good one.
And very calm, I go to the hospital, sedap.
She alone, bring the husband.
3:30 in the morning.
And
I rang brother Tio after everything. Subscribe.
Yes. Then after that, she make phone call. She do what she has to do. Then later on, the good news came. That's why she experienced that. And that is a very good test. Normal time, your own husband collapsed like that. I tell you, you panic like anything. Even ambulance number also you forget. You don't know how to dial. Like but in that case, she was very calm. She did very well. She just called up the neighbor and asked them to help. Then she herself actually get the husband into the car and drive her to the hospital, or him to the hospital. And he was attended to by the doctors. Then he recovered. Put in 6 stents, no, just imagine, one operation. I put in 3 or so, 2 hours. So 6 must be 3-4 hours. So it's not easy at the husband's age. The husband's age is 70 plus. 80 coming, that's why Tengkui, still going strong. So these are the Dhamma that can help. That's why she has a lot of gratitude. Otherwise, I tell you, life is like that. Always remember, you panic also no use. Understand or not? Worry also no use. What is important is, here and the now, what can you do? Calm yourself down, whatever happens. Accept the reality of the moment. We're in nature's law. Happened already. What can I do? I do what I need to be able to do. So I will try to resolve this amicably. If I need help, I call. Then if help is coming, then I wait. Otherwise, I will make another call. Then I have to tell myself, I got 2 options. 1, react, panic, worry, and become miserable. That cannot do anything. The other way is to calm myself down, accept the reality, then act. Act with wisdom. Noble Eightfold Path. Call people whom you can contact, then speak with right speech. Request them to help. You say, this is an emergency. I hope you can help. But you call any Kayamita, they will help you. In fact, there are quite a number. Last time, I remember one of the lady Kayamita. Middle of the night, she collapsed in the apartment. No, nobody knew. But luckily, she recovered consciousness. She stayed alone. Middle of the night, she was making her supper. Then somehow, he fell. He collapsed and fell, and the hot drink also on her. Then she lost consciousness. Then 2 hours or 3 hours later, I think 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., she woke up. Then she panicked. But luckily, she had the Dhamma. She go and get hold of her handphone. Then she call one Dhamma friend. Then tell the Dhamma friend to inform me. Then she call me. Then I went with her to her apartment. Then we took her to the Subang Medical Center. Then because we scanned, the brain might have damage or what. So did a scan, nothing wrong. Then she recovered. She was very grateful. So I told her, in future you must have friends whom you can contact. Then among the Dhamma friends, because there are quite a number not married, staying alone, single lady, you must exchange phone number. You go overseas, tell people. You are not around, tell people. If one day you don't hear from her, text her. Then make sure she reply. If she don't reply, check the house or what. Otherwise, something like this can happen. Then pass a key to them. Otherwise, they have to break your door, which is not easy. In the condo, the security will not allow you to do that. So these are the things that you can come up with so that you can actually help each other to develop better understanding, so that as Kayanamita, you can also have true, sincere relationship to help each other in time of need. Okay? Any more questions? What is the time now? Oh, you still got about 25 minutes. Any more questions? Otherwise, you can meditate for a while. You all want to meditate? Better meditate. Eh? Okay, I set 15 minutes. You can have your meditation. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Huh? Mm. We got another 10 minutes to go. Huh? Anybody want to report meditation? You can, or ask any related question. Huh? Anybody? Huh? Oh. You can report your meditation. Huh? Make full use of the condition. Just now the 15 minutes was good. Huh? Suddenly cooling. Then you can settle down very easily. Huh? Then the noise also no more. Then very quiet. yes, true. Pass the mic.
Brother Teo?
Yes.
Can we do a little bit of revision, please?
Can.
The five contemplations, daily contemplations.
Yeah. You don't have your chanting book. Or inside the note. Okay, very good. You see, the five daily contemplation, they are related to the first noble truth, eight realities, and they also include the last contemplation, which is the law of karma. The first three, they are related to our body, physical body. So the Buddha wants you to reflect and contemplate every day. He said we have a physical body. You have to understand that this body is made of element. There is no knowing, so it cannot be you. It will go the way of nature. That's why he said you have to reflect, contemplate. The first contemplation is about this body of yours or ours. It's of the nature to grow old and decay. Means you will have to go through this process of old age and decay. But for children, for kids, you have a birth, then you have a growth phase, then you mature, means you reach puberty. Then after that, the growth hormone stop. Then you plateau off. Then after that, you start to age. So this aging, the Buddha is talking about after the growth hormone no more, then you start to age. So as this body starts to age, you realize the growth hormone no more. Then like a car, wear and tear set in. Then your body also will start to give problem, like a car. It needs maintenance. Then sometimes certain parts due to wear and tear may break down. So as you grow old, as you age, you develop the life-related suffering. Suffering due to getting old, due to old age. You will start to experience a lot of things that you don't experience when you are you. You become more tired, more lethargic. Your organs start to fail you. You start to have more problems with your body, sickness, disease, and all those things. Then your recovery become less efficient like before. Last time after you exercise or play game, then you can recover very fast within a day or two. Then nowadays, third day only you start to feel the pain. Then 40, 50, and 1 week later you still haven't fully recovered. So this reflection is to develop wisdom. The Buddha said, as you go through old age, you will have to understand that the body is just a body. It goes the way of nature. You are not the only one subject to this aging process. Everybody has to go through. If you take care of your body, if you take care of your intake of food and you exercise regularly, then maybe like the car, you maintain it very well, it will last you longer, it will give you less problem. But you abuse the body, neglect the body, and simply overuse the body, then you can't create unnecessary wear and tear off to your fitlessness. You actually subject your body to abuses, then this body will deteriorate faster, get into problem more easily. So as you go through this, you got two choices, the Buddha said. Attach to it through delusion and develop the fear, worry, anxiety and sadness, sorrow and lamentation and misery. The other choice is accept the reality of this form, because you are not alone. Everybody has to go through old age, then later sickness and death. When you confront this reality, you have the wisdom to accept them for what they are and understand that they are not you, then you are not deluded by it, then you have wisdom. Then you can be at peace with it. You can endure, like the Buddha said under Sabba Asavak Sutta. Certain hindrance, when they arise, you have to endure them. So the bodily condition of old age, sickness and death is something you need to endure through wisdom. Then there are certain type of things that you have to reflect on proper usage, like the purpose of food, the purpose of your clothing, the four requisites that the monk receive: food, shelter, medicine and offering and all those things. It's for you to sustain your body so that it's healthy enough for you to develop the use of it, the cultivation. It's not to beautify and what they call indulge, exercise indulgence. Then you are not supposed to please your senses, to develop craving out of it, the good food and all those things. Then don't be deluded by this form. Don't go and overdo it. Not to say you cannot beautify. For certain occasion you need to dress up, you can. But do not attach to it, so that you have the delusion like forever you want the body to stay young. You want to go and do a lot of artificial thing to it. But this form will go the way of nature. Once it has reached certain age, no matter how much cosmetic or makeup you do, it can only deceive others externally. But deep below the makeup, the reality stands out. So why not be natural? Learn to live naturally. Learn to have understanding that this body goes the way of nature. So this reflection contemplation will bring forth the wisdom for you to accept the body more and more as it grows old, gets sick, and even finally separation of consciousness, which people call death. You can come to terms with this reality. And these are the reality of life and existence. Every living being has to go through this process. You cannot understand and you didn't reflect. When you confront without wisdom, you will become afflicted, miserable. Suffering will arise. You will have fear, worry, anxiety. You fear that you may die. You fear that disease may cause you to spend a lot of money. Then you fear that this disease can make you paralyzed or miserable or very sick. So all this, if you are not careful, you don't have wisdom, you project your thought, you project your fear, then you develop unnecessary suffering. Fear, worry, anxiety are negative tendency within the mind. Wherever there is fear, there is negative energy field. So fear will lead to a lot of what they call immunity failure. Worry is another stress-related problem. So fear, worry and anxiety can cause your immune system to go down and make you very miserable. So when you reflect and contemplate, then you tell yourself, if this are reality, not me, then I don't have to worry about life. I don't have to worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. Yeah, it's not me. It's only element, no knowing. So I can just endure, confront, develop understanding, so that I don't have to react and become afflicted. And this first three, I think, is quite easy when you have the Dhamma, basic Dhamma. But the fourth one is more difficult. The Buddha said you have to reflect everything that you own, or you think you own, or possess, whatever that you hold on to dearly, your money, your wealth, your possession, your property, your loved ones. If you develop delusion, attach, cling onto them, you will suffer, the Buddha said. So you have to reflect, all this that I think I own, my loved ones, my possession, things that I hold on to dearly, they are impermanent, they come and they go, they never belong to me. Because of condition, they arise. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Then they will either separate from me, when condition ceases to be, or when my breath stops. This entity dissolves, cannot own anything, they will still separate. So separation is a reality, and separation can come in many forms. Through accidental death, or through nature's law, calamity, then through separation of relationship like divorce, relationship failure, then misunderstanding between loved ones and all those things. Then due to economic crisis, you can lose your business, you can lose your wealth, you can lose everything that you own through nature's calamity, like flood, tsunami, building collapse, earthquake and all those things. So when the condition arise, like the recent flood, even the Kelantan side, East Coast, now is Langkawi, quite bad. And earlier on, Japan, tsunami, Asia, also tsunami, quite detrimental. Then earthquake zone and all those things. So all these are reality. If you don't reflect when you confront them, you cannot develop the wisdom, right understanding, to be at peace. It will lead to suffering. When you understand that they are all conditioned, arising, causal phenomena, no reality, impermanent, if you attach and cling, it will lead to suffering. Then you know how to confront them. You know how to accept them for what they are. Then you develop the understanding before you confront them. And that is the purpose of all this reflection. So this fourth reflection is to understand the reality of life and existence concerning separation. When you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want. So all this can lead to suffering. Because the phenomenal world is not what you think. They have their characteristics. They are impermanent. The moment you hold, cling and grasp and want it your way, suffering will arise. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent changing entity where you can cling, hold and grasp and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. And that is the wisdom you must develop. That's why you must meditate. You must develop this understanding so that you can breathe. Then the last one is, I already explained the law of karma. The most powerful law that governs all of life and existence. And every living being is subject to this law. That's why the Buddha wants you to understand. Because there is such a law as law of karma that explains clearly to you, not only human beings, all living beings, they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma, and they are what they are beyond their karma. So when you reflect and understand the importance of karma, you still don't have the urgency to take care of karma and follow the advice of the Buddha like what we went through, then it's your choice. Nobody can help you. Then you don't complain when suffering arises. But you see the urgency through this reflection and contemplation, you better strive on with heedfulness to follow the advice of the Buddha. That's why you better cultivate dana, sila, and bhavana. So this is what the five daily contemplation is all about. Then you can go deeper into the, like three turning like that. You can reflect, why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? And then you slowly go in. Like the four noble truths. This is the first noble truth. You go through the three turning. Then you develop deeper understanding, deeper and deeper understanding. Okay, Jay? Oh, so fast, 15 minutes already. So we exceeded, so we have to stop. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vatta cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. We'll invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasato kalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Can you make your aspiration? Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Let's express our heartfelt thanks to Brother Teo for the profound sharing of the Dharma with three mindful bow to the Buddha.
Thank you.